God bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Sorry it's been several days since I've been able to do a good devotion here on this app, and I'm looking forward to today. I put these scriptures here about a week ago, and I've just kept listening to the Holy Spirit and meditating on this truth. He was impressing upon my heart one of the aspects of true faith, one of the manifestations of true faith of a person who truly believes the genuine gospel. There's a lot of lies out there that are masquerading as the gospel that are not the truth. But one of the main manifestations, the main aspects in a person's life who really believes in the real Jesus and in the real gospel is that they are longing to get out of this life. They do not want this flesh. They don't want this life. They long to be swallowed up with Jesus. What does that mean? They understand that they died. They don't want this Adam life. They don't want this human life. They endure it. They don't love it. They endure it. They know it has to be endured for a short season, and then they can get out of it, and they long for that. They actually groan inwardly. This is not talking about human grumpiness, praise the Lord. This is talking about an inner spiritual groaning, longing to be delivered from these bodies of death, longing to be set free once and for all from the life that we inherited from Adam, from the life we got from Adam. Though Jesus Christ crucified that life on the cross, and we can lay hold of the power of that by believing in what he did, we still have to deal with this natural man. There's a lot of confusion and false doctrines as if the natural man doesn't exist anymore. Of course, Paul never spoke like that. When he spoke something spiritual, all who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with all of its lust and all of its affections. He was not insinuating that our natural life doesn't exist anymore, that if we just ignore it, it'll go away. He was talking about something spiritual, something that's already completed in the spirit, but we've not seen the full manifestation of it in the natural. It's always the same thing. When Paul spoke about what is finished, he was talking about what is finished in the spiritual realm, but it has not fully manifested yet in the natural realm. That's why we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and at the same time, we groan to be delivered from these corruptible vessels. We groan to get out of these bodies of death, this flesh that is full of human weaknesses and difficulties. We want to be set free from completely from what the flesh wants and what the flesh desires. And as we believe what Jesus has accomplished, we do experience the power of that now, but we do not experience the fullness of it until we see him face to face, until we get out of these bodies. There's nothing more clear than that in the scripture. When we see him face to face, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. For you died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you shall appear with him in glory. So we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That's the way to really wrap that up. We have this treasure. What treasure? The life of Jesus Christ, but we carry it in an earthen, corruptible, decaying vessel. And we long and we groan inwardly to be set free from this tabernacle, from this earthly tabernacle that is in a state of decay. Now, I do believe without a doubt that the last generation of believers before the wedding supper, before the coming of the Lord, those who are taken out of this world, I believe they'll be changed without death. The Bible says there is a mystery. Not all of us will die, but we shall be changed and caught up in the air to meet the Lord. So there is coming a generation, and it's even happened with individuals down through history, but very, very few. It happened with Enoch. He didn't see death. It happened with several different people who did not see death. Elijah didn't see death. It's happened with several people. They may have happened with more. There's no record of John dying. We don't have a record of him dying. It may have happened with him. The Bible doesn't say. But it can happen with an individual. But that's very, very, very rare. It's very rare. The vast majority of us will see physical death. Our natural life will decay. If Elijah would have stayed here, he would have decayed. If Enoch would have stayed here, he would have decayed. Why? Because in our natural flesh, our natural life, it is in a state of decay. It's difficult to deal with it. It's difficult to fight it. And our victory comes through believing what he accomplished for us and looking for the culmination, the full manifestation of it. But while we're in these bodies of death, we are longing to be clothed from on high. That doesn't mean we can't experience the power of the resurrection now. It just simply means we are not experiencing the fullness of it until we get out of these temples. Praise the Lord. We need to put these two things together. You and I can experience the power of his resurrection now. But let's not forget the Apostle Paul said, I haven't obtained yet. Some people want to, you know, try to dig into that. But what he said very specifically is, I have not attained unto the resurrection of the dead. But that's what I'm pressing into. To obtain to the full power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what he was pressing in. And when he said, I've not attained yet, I haven't completely, fully experienced the full power of his resurrection. I'm still dealing with this body of death like everybody else is. But my goal is to be clothed from on high, to lay hold of the right-hand seat, and to press in to the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe that as believers, we should all be pressing in for the full manifestation of his resurrection, because that generation's coming soon where we will see it. If we are in that group of people, we will see it while we are living. Death will be conquered while that last generation is alive. They'll begin to see death bow its knees. How do I know this? This is not some strange doctrine. This is what the Bible teaches. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says the final enemy to bow down is death. And if you study Hebrews chapter 10 and Psalms 110, you will see that Jesus sat down expecting every enemy to be made his footstool, because he has perfected forever them that are sanctified in him. The born-again children of God are forever perfected already, though they are living in bodies of death, though they're struggling with corruptible vessels, they are already perfected. So Jesus sat down expecting every enemy to be made his footstool while he's sitting down. He went up, sat down, and expected every enemy to be made his footstool. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us the final enemy to bow down, the final enemy to be conquered while he's seated there because he's perfected us, the final enemy to be conquered is death itself. And if you look in Psalm 110, which goes together with Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10 is actually a quoting of Psalm 110. How is he going to do it? Is he going to do it just by coming out of the sky and making death bow? It says in the word, he will send forth the rod of his strength through Zion. Death will bow through the sons of God as they believe in what he accomplished and they enter into the full stature of Jesus. I believe it comes without a doubt, and I could show it in many places in the Word. It comes through revelation of the true work of the cross. There will be a generation of people who genuinely hate the life of Adam and who turn away from the world and that they do not want anything to do with it. And they genuinely, in unity, lay hold of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And that they will enter into the full stature, Ephesians chapter 4, into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see them do everything Jesus did and more than Jesus did, because they will not love their lives even unto death. They will overcome the enemy, as we do individually. Corporately, one day we will see the fullness of what he accomplished, where we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony, by our confession, by the blood of the Lamb, what he accomplished, and by not loving our own lives, even unto death. That's how all the power of the enemy is, it is demonstrated that he has been conquered. You see, Satan has already, that's another devotion, I don't want to really get deep into that, but Satan has already been defeated. Death has already been conquered, but we have not seen the full manifestation of that because corporately, as a body, we have yet to believe what he's done. We are still trying to hold on to our lives. We're not longing to be delivered from these bodies. We're wanting God to bless us. We're wanting God to bless these bodies. We're wanting God to bless this Adamic life. We're wanting to prosper and be successful and be happy. But that is not the mark of true faith. The mark of true faith is not wanting to be here, not seeing anything here that we want, not valuing anything this world has to offer. The only value here is souls. That's it. The true mark of faith is wanting to get out of here, wanting to get out of these bodies of death, wanting to be clothed from on high, wanting to enter into our true life, our eternity with God. Oh, hallelujah. Because this world is corrupt and everything in it is in a state of decay. So, beloved, this is one way to be able to tell if we're being lied to or if we're walking in darkness. Because when we walk in darkness and we're lied to, the Bible said the false prophets, Jesus said, "Woe unto you if all men speak well of you, for so did the false prophets speak of your fathers." The false prophets are the ones who declared God's going to give you the victory. God's going to bless your life. God's going to defeat your enemies for you. When in reality, they were walking in the flesh and the life of Adam, and they were going to face destruction and captivity and darkness and pain and suffering because of it, which is exactly what's going to happen to every person today who is walking in the natural man, who loves the world, who wants the things of the world, who wants God to bless their life. They love the false prophets because the false prophets tell them God will do it. But Jesus warned of that, because that's not the true gospel. That's not true faith. But people love the false prophets. And this is one of the ways you can tell if you're really walking in the truth. Are you looking forward to God blessing your earthly life? Are you looking for a reward here? Are you looking for things to get better here and for God to give you what you want here? Or have you given up on what's here and you don't want it because you see what it really is? And you see what Jesus did. And you see why he said, if any man loves the world or the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in them. They don't yet understand the truth, and they're not really walking in the life of Jesus. Because the love of the Father is the life of Jesus Christ. It's not some behavior. It's not a new attitude that a mature believer has. It's the life of Jesus. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is Jesus Christ. It's the life of Jesus Christ. We are not walking in the life of Jesus if we love the things of the world. So a mark of true faith is when we are longing to get out of this world and to get out of these bodies. And this is why, in many cases, God allows us to go through trouble, because he loves us. Count all hardship as discipline from the Lord, the word says. When you go through pain, when you go through difficulties, when you go through seemingly defeats and failures, it causes you to not want this life, to not want to be here. And that's sometimes that's the only way that God can get us to that point. I believe the main way he wants to get us to that point is through revelation, through truth, through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show you what the world really is. He'll show you what money really is. He'll show you that what people want and what Adam desires has no true value. It's worthless stuff. It's worthless. But God wants you to be faithful with what you have here so that he can entrust you with what's really riches, what's true, what's eternal. But the things here are absolutely worthless. They're in a state of decay. Everything man wants, everything man values family, especially right-wing religious people. They value family, but Jesus never preached family. As a matter of fact, when family came after him because they thought he'd lost his mind, his mother and his brothers, if you've read the New Testament, his mother and his brothers, they came after him to get him because they thought he lost his mind because he wasn't even hardly eating. And they knocked on the door in a house where he was teaching a bunch of people in the house. Somebody went to answer the door. They found his mother and his brothers there. So they went into the room Jesus was in and said, "Hey, Jesus, your mom is here. Your brothers is here." And he looked at them and he said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother?" But he who hears the word of God believes and obeys. So Jesus was saying, that's not really my mother. He didn't go with her. He didn't let her come and get him. He didn't go home with her. She thought he had lost his mind. She wanted to take him home and make him eat. He didn't go. He said, family. He said, I didn't come to bring peace in a family. I didn't come to make families work. I came to bring a sword to divide a child from their parent, to divide a husband from his wife, a wife from her husband, to divide children from their parents, to divide a brother from his other brother, to divide a brother from his sister. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. What does that mean? It means that Jesus was not focusing on the family. Jesus wasn't focusing on happiness. Jesus wasn't focusing on success. Jesus wasn't focusing on the functional family. You know what I found out from the Spirit of God and from just going through life? There's no such thing as an Adamic functional family. We call families that are really bad dysfunctional. But the truth of the matter is, every family has pain. Every family has dysfunction. Some hide it better than others. Some gloss over it better than others. Some seem to be doing well and seem to be happy. But the truth of the matter is, every family is full of pain and full of difficulties and full of troubles because of what we are. There's no such thing. One of the biggest lies of the devil is that somebody is doing it right, is that somebody's happy and everything's going well for them. It's just not the truth. It's not the truth. And the devil lies to us to get us to aim for happiness, to aim for the functional family, to aim for good success in this world. That's what he wants you to do, because he wants you to want the world. But God wants you to see that it's all the same thing. It's all in a state of decay. It doesn't mean that it can't be better by walking with Jesus Christ. Of course, that brings love, that brings patience into our relationships. It does tremendously help things, but don't expect coming to Jesus to make your relationships last or to make them stronger. If you really walk after the life of Jesus Christ and you hate the life of Adam, then the life of Adam will hate you, even if that's your spouse or your children, until they hate the life of Adam, friend. They want to live. They want to survive. They're not going to like you. It will not bring peace. It won't bring strength to your family. It will actually divide your family to really go after God. And then you're going to have to choose. Do I want my family or do I want Jesus? That's a choice. That's part of the cost of following. You can't read the words of Jesus and not come away with that conclusion. Part of the cost of choosing to walk after him is losing family. It's division in the family. That's what Jesus taught. That's what Jesus said. And that's another way we can tell that much of what we're being taught and much of what we're believing is not the true gospel. I've listened to Focus on the Family for years on the radio, friend, but it's not the true gospel. It's religion, it's believing in God, but it's focusing on wealth and prosperity. And it's part of the prosperity movement that God's here to make our life better. But you just do not see that in the New Testament. And one of the excuses that they use is say, well, that was the times, that was their culture. In those times, they couldn't prosper as believers. But now we can. Friend, Jesus' teachings are universal and for all time. If you will really, really love the life of the last Adam and hate the life of the first and turn away from it, you are going to be hated no matter what generation you live in, no matter what culture you live in, no matter what government you live in. It's always the same. Everything Jesus said is universal. If everybody speaks well of you, you are not preaching the gospel, you are not walking with the true Jesus Christ. You're not. It's universal, it's true. And if you really begin to pursue him and hate this world and hate what it has to offer, you will find out his words are true. You will be rejected. You will be hated by all men for his name's sake. That is a fact. That is a universal truth. And if you're not hated by all men for his name's sake, then you are not genuinely believing what he accomplished and why he had to accomplish it. So praise the Lord. Let's wrap this up today. If we are genuinely walking in the truth, we are longing to get out of this world. We're not looking forward to him blessing our life in the world. We are longing to get out of this life, this Adamic natural life. We don't want it. We're not looking forward to him blessing it. I lived for at least 20 years with a false perception, a false idea, a false premise and foundation that God was going to make my life successful, that he was going to give me a legacy, that he was going to bless Jeff's life. And I was always looking forward to the day that was going to happen and waiting for my breakthrough. And I've met so many people that live like that, charismatic people that the devil has lied to and deceived. And it's so disillusioning and disheartening as each decade passes and their dreams don't come to pass. And I've had friends that, matter of fact, I had a friend die recently who had a vision of preaching in stadiums over and over. He had this vision, he knew it was going to happen. He just died recently. He never preached in a stadium. None of that ever came to pass. And some false people, false prophets will say, well, that's because he did something wrong. He didn't cooperate. But listen, friend, even if you did get to preach in a stadium, it's not what you think it is. And the devil even uses those kinds of things to destroy people because we're looking for the wrong thing. If everybody sings your praises, friend, you do not believe in the life of the last Adam, and you're not really walking in the truth and telling other people the truth, or they wouldn't love you. They wouldn't like you. Oh God, if we would just believe what Jesus said, but it's very difficult to do it because we have so many other things being told to us that confuse and deceive. This is why Jesus said, very few find the narrow way. And you look up that word narrow, it means to be pressed in and suffer from the throng of a crowd. What it really means is like you're in a big place being pressed in by many people and you can't make it to the door. The reason it's hard to truly believe the true gospel today is because we have so many contrary ideas and teachings and lies being told to us, where the devil will twist the word of God and deceive us and get us to want the wrong thing, to believe for the wrong thing, to look forward to the wrong thing. And it's all deception to get you to cast away your faith eventually. Those who believe false prophecy, eventually they get old. Eventually it doesn't happen. Eventually they see they believed a lie. And usually they end up disillusioned. They end up thinking, is anything I've ever believed true? Is God even real? And they end up casting off faith. Their faith is shipwrecked. Not because they did something wrong, because they believed something that wasn't true. The devil lied to them. Friend, you should be expecting trouble if you really believe in Jesus. You should be expecting loss. You should be expecting that more and more people will dislike you as time goes on. You should be expecting not to succeed in the world. And people go back to the old covenant and quote, if you'll meditate in his word day and night and prove to do all that is written therein, he will make your way successful. You need to meditate on the full scripture. That's Joshua 1:8. If you prove to do all that is written therein, that is the law. The law says if you will obey everything God says to do perfectly, then he'll give you the world. Why did he say that? To reveal the iniquity that was in them, and nobody was able to obey perfectly. So they all were under the curse, all of them. None of them could hold on to what God gave them. They all ended up in captivity. And people go back to the old covenant because of their ignorance and try to use it to tell people God wants to bless your life in this world. That is not the message of Jesus Christ, ever. It's not the truth. The reason God told them he would bless their life in this world, if they do everything he said, if they prove to do everything written in God's law and commandments, if they do it perfectly, the reason he told them that, according to the New Testament, was to reveal the iniquity that was in them, to reveal their covetousness, to reveal their sinfulness. No one was able to do all that was written therein. No one was able to be perfect. And therefore, every man, every woman, every child is under a curse. And when Jesus comes, he doesn't come saying, if you'll obey God, God will give you houses you didn't build. God will give you land and cattle. He doesn't come preaching that. He comes preaching that it's all worthless. Why should you even want it? Why should you desire it? No one was able to do it. Jesus comes with a totally different message. He hated money. He didn't want anything of the world. The last Adam doesn't want what the first Adam wants. It's that simple. The first Adam wants the stuff that's in the world. The last Adam wants the right-hand seat that's in heaven, and he rejects the world. That's how you know which life you're walking in. If you want something that's here, you're walking in the life of Adam. If you want what's there, you're walking in the life of the last Adam. If you're wanting God to bless your life here, you're walking in the life of the first Adam. If you're longing to get out of this body and leave this world, you're walking in the life of the last Adam. Now, let me clarify that and we'll close here. I'm not saying if you're walking in depression and wanting to kill yourself, you're walking in the life of Jesus. That's not what I mean. But if you're seeing what he's accomplished, you're seeing the right-hand seat and understanding eternity and understanding how corrupt and how vile and how decaying everything here is, and you don't want anything to do with it, and you really want what God has for you. You don't want your own life. You don't want your own opinion. You don't want to be right. You don't want to stand for something here. No, you don't want politics. You don't want any of it. You want the kingdom of God because you know there's no right side here. The Republicans aren't right. The Democrats aren't right. The religious right is not right. They're nothing any different than the Pharisee and the teacher of the law. It's Adam fighting and with his knowledge of good and evil. Who's right? Who's wrong? It's all garbage, every bit of it. And if you really understand the life of the last and the kingdom of God, you're going to be longing to get out of it all. I cannot wait, by the grace of God, to leave this world. It sounds weird, but I'm not looking forward to anything here. I'm certainly not looking forward to my kids having kids and bouncing my grandkid. I was talking to somebody about this recently. When you bounce your grandkid on your knee, do you look at him and say, listen, You're the life of Adam. If you don't hate your own life, you cannot find Jesus. No, you don't tell them that. You tell them God loves you, has a plan for your life. Oh, they're going to have such a great. Oh, friend, it's all a lie. It's all deception. The more kids you have, the more pain you create, and the more trouble they're going to have to go through if they're ever going to find the truth. They've got to hate their life also. They've got to turn away from this world also. And it's totally different than what we're really doing, and especially in America, but it's all over the world. I used to preach, you know, the American gospel, but the Holy Spirit showed me. I've traveled many places, and many preachers have rebuked me that live in other countries. They said, brother, it's not the American gospel. That's the same lies being told all over the world. They're believing the same thing in Africa and in India. They're believing the same thing in Brazil, that God wants to bless my life, and if I'll serve him, he'll give me what I want. They're believing the same thing everywhere. It's the same devil all over the world. It's not the American gospel. I believe America promoted that with its prosperity and its money and its success. America's a big part of that, spreading the lies of the devil. But it's not an American gospel. It's satanic. It's Satan lying to people. And they want to succeed. They want their life to be good. They're not rejecting it. They don't look forward to the kingdom. They're not wanting to escape this world. They want to be blessed in this world. It's the same lie all over the world. But may God give us the grace to truly lay hold of the life of the last Adam and see the first fruits of that manifesting. As Paul said, we don't have the full thing yet, but we have the first fruits, the Spirit of God inside of us to manifest what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. Let's keep our eyes on that. Bring every thought captive to what he has accomplished until we see the fullness of it manifesting. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today.